Welcome to Rough Life. What a transport day it was. We did yet another two-van transport. You know those are my favorite, but they are a lot of work, and it was so hot and so humid today. We had 60 critters on board this week, 11 of them being adult dogs, which makes my heart so happy. We also had a ton of different litters of chihuahuas for some reason. And just as a fun fact, I dated a guy who had a chihuahua and he pronounced it chihuahua. And ever since then, I cannot write or say the word chihuahua without saying chihuahua in my head. And it makes me laugh every single time. I literally cannot even spell the word chihuahua when I'm typing it out without saying chihuahua to myself. Anyways, we have a lot more important stories than that one, so let's get into it. Today's theme was Olympic athletes. This was suggested to me for last week's theme, and I thought that was dumb, so I went with fonts as the theme because that's not dumb. But I thought it was dumb because we've done an Olympic theme before, so I was like, we've done it. But that was very naive of me, and I'm very aware of that now. I had no idea how invested we would all be with the Olympics. I was just a dumb 24-year-old little girl who lived alone and spent her evenings rescuing animals and not watching TV when we had the last Olympics. So I had no idea how fun it was to watch it and cheer everyone on. I am so proud to now say I am a full-blown Team USA member, and even when I have no idea what sport they are playing, I am screaming and hollering in my living room, cheering them all on. I am fully invested, even more so now that I've named 60 animals after the athletes. Daniel Breslin, the human, will forever hold a special place in my heart after how hard I worked to get Daniel Breslin, the puppy, a foster for this transport. And I'm super sad that we didn't get to use Leah Kraus because all of my singles were males and it wouldn't have worked. So now I really want Leah Kraus, the human, to win everything for the rest of her life because I'm so sad for her that we didn't get to use her name for a puppy. Okay, on to the stories. Emily Fox, who was named Daisy May down here, wandered up as a stray. There's a family here who I literally love more than anything. The husband was the preacher at my wedding. The wife is one of my good friends. I taught their children in Sunday school. They are just good eggs. Well, Daisy May wandered up to the husband's parents' home, and they contacted me right away to help. I was telling everyone no that week because we were just swamped. So no matter what you had, no, I cannot help you. No, like contact me next week. I cannot do anything for you this week. But when I saw his sweet mama's name pop up on my phone, I knew whatever it was she had, I was gonna end up taking. Luckily, she did agree to keep her until transport day, which I didn't even mean to happen. I planned to take her today and send her to a foster here, locally. But I woke up at 7 o'clock this morning to a message from Jacqueline saying she could go today, and I immediately texted the family to see if there was even any way that they could bring her in time for transport. Daisy May acted super scared and shy at transport, and I could tell it was breaking their heart. They kept saying she's never acted like this in the whole month that they had her. But it was also her first, we think, ever car ride, and transport days are just so hectic. So I'm really hoping she settles in quickly in Virginia because she came from one of my favorite families, so she's automatically one of my favorite dogs. Listen, we knew when this was going to be human names that I was going to have to say that I was going to butcher 90% of them. So I'm just going to apologize now. Someone even told me how to pronounce this name and I can't find where she commented on the post. So we're just going to have to use our phonics skills and try our best. Ilana Mayer, maybe. Our rescue partner Hope's husband works with the owner, and after he heard how wonderful Wolf Trap is, he knew that's where he wanted their doodle to go. They got her when their youngest child was a baby. Why? And since then, they've had another baby, and it's the typical, we don't have time for her anymore excuse. They've loved her, and they've kept her up to date on all her vaccinations and heartworm prevention, and even got her spayed, so at least they were really responsible dog owners, and they are truly thankful that she is going to go to a home where they're going to have more time to devote to her than they did. Daniel Breslin, my favorite, almost got cut from Team USA, the dog, not the human. I don't know why this adorable baby could not find a foster, but in the literal final hour, he got several offers. He showed up to an elderly lady's house a couple of days before she passed away. Crazy. When the daughter arrived from out of state to start cleaning out the house, she found him. She ended up taking him to a couple next door and asked them for help, and they reached out to us to take him. They actually fostered him for us until transport, and we are really hoping that they will continue fostering for us in the future. Noah Lyles was found on the side of the road with no houses around, but since he looked relatively healthy, he was posted on Facebook looking for the owner. No one claimed him for several weeks, so we know he had to just be another drop-off. The sweet lady that found him offered to foster him until transport day for us. Quincy Wilson was found as a stray in the middle of a gravel road, almost dead, literally. He was covered in fleas and being eaten alive by ants. Ants! The finders rushed him to the vet and got him loaded up on lots of medicine and high-calorie food, and he is doing so much better. Thomas Hillman? Was an owner surrender. One of the owner's friends reached out to us saying their friend had a 12-week-old golden doodle and they didn't want him anymore, and they were about to take him to the pound. She knew the pound was full, and she was worried that they would just dump him somewhere. So she asked if she agreed to keep him until transport, would we go ahead and make sure he got on and would get a good home, which we were more than happy to do. I will never own a doodle, but oh my goodness, are they cute puppies. I just wanted to love all over that squishy boy at transport. Victor Montavolo. I mean, I have so much appreciation for the announcers now, now that I'm having to say all these names. And I literally went through and picked the least complicated names to have to say. Victor, we got a call from someone who had been made aware of a homeless man who was dragging this teeny tiny puppy all over town and tying him up outside in this heat and leaving him for hours and sometimes whole days at a time. So some underground networking happened, and the puppy disappeared in the middle of the night when he was tied up all alone at a gas station, and the gas station owners were asking animal control to come pick it up. His paw pads were burned and bleeding from the hot pavement that he was standing on all the time, and he was eaten alive with fleas and intestinal parasites. He slept for 2 days straight once he was settled in and safe indoors and in the air conditioning in a foster home. And I know this might be a controversial story. I understand. I fully support homeless people keeping animals with them. I think it is almost always a win-win for the homeless animal and the person to have a companion. There is even a homeless man in a nearby town who has a dog, and he takes fantastic care of it. The shelter provides him food for the dog. Another rescue provides like flea and tick care for the dog, and we spayed her and boarded her for him during the terrible ice storm that we had earlier this year because the human shelter wouldn't let him bring his dog there. I am not out to take away people's dogs, period. But if you leave your bleeding puppy unattended without shelter for full days at a time and over 100-degree heat, maybe you don't need a puppy. Felicia Stansel and Flava Flav, who is not an athlete, but I got so many requests to include Flava Flav as a name on here. They are otherwise known as the naked male and the semi-naked female down here to us. They were posted on Facebook by one of our rescue partners back in June. The owners moved off and left 3 dogs in their trailer park backyard. The neighbors were calling and complaining, and one of the neighbors decided if they weren't gone in 4 days, he was going to haul them off. Not sure what that means. So my friend was posting their story and the pictures of them at 2 in the morning, and I just happened to be awake with this dumb baby when I saw her post. This was also that same week that I was saying no to everyone and everything. But in a moment of sleep deprivation weakness, I texted her and said I would take all 3 the next day. So she went out there around lunchtime to get them, and the neighbor said that the 3rd dog had disappeared several days ago, and it still hasn't been seen to this day. So she loaded up the male and the female. The male was absolutely bald and sunburned from having minimal shade and was super skinny. The female was in a little bit better shape. Her mange wasn't too severe, but the chain around her neck was so loose, she literally could have just walked away. But she stayed there all those weeks waiting for her owners to come back and get her. I didn't get to spend too much time with these 2 because the type of mange that they had was contagious to humans in the beginning. It is not now, so if you are fostering them, do not freak out. They have not been contagious for over 3 weeks. You're in the clear. But I did not want to take the chance of getting it and passing it to Mary Sue. But we've had them over for over a month now, and they have been the perfect dogs. They are so sweet to each other. They haven't gotten in any trouble whatsoever. And once they figured out the doggy door at the doghouse and they realized that they could go inside to air conditioning and dog beds, they didn't leave the house for hours. It was so sweet. I really love them. Hadley, I'm not even going to try to say your last name. Hadley and Hampton Morris are the parents of the tea litter of 10 Chihuahua German Shepherd mixes from the things you'll find in Lowe's transport. I talked a little bit about the parents in that episode, but I'll do a recap for anyone that missed it. That was the litter we're calling the Ewoks because that's exactly what they look like, especially their daddy Hampton. And fun fact for you OGs, if you remember our transport coordinator, Sarah Barker, Hampton is her nephew, and he is playing in the Olympics. That is super cool. Okay, but for the dog, Hampton, they are owner surrenders. The mama, the daddy, and the second mama were all strays that wandered up to someone's house during that ice storm. Remember the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad snow and ice storm that we had earlier this year? They wandered up during that. The Ewok daddy got both mamas pregnant. One of the mamas looked just like the daddy, so those puppies were purebred Ewoks. That mama died, though. The man said something got her when the puppies were almost 3 weeks old. Thus, the second mama, Hadley, when she saw that the real mama was gone and that these puppies were so pitiful looking all around for her and just wanting somebody to snuggle with, she stepped up and she took that whole litter in too. Both litters were born 2 days apart, so they were very close in age. After Jess went and got them all, because the man was keeping them all in his laundry room, Hadley kept going in the laundry room and would just lay in there and cry because she missed her babies so bad. And that is so pitiful to me. The man was hoping to surrender the mama and daddy that day too, but we had no fosters north or south that could take them. So we left him spay and neuter cards for them, and we told him that we'd come back for them as soon as we could. Well, then everyone went wild over these puppies in Virginia, and they were all showing off Hampton's picture when people would ask what they were mixed with. So we knew eventually that they would get to go to Virginia. So we decided to just go get them before something got them, like the first mama. And Jess kept them in her backyard for like a month. It was a long time. The man had already used the spay voucher on the mama, but he was so happy when we came back to get them. I am really, really hoping that whoever has the tea puppies gets them together with their mama Hadley so she can see that they all ended up in happy homes. Because it makes me so sad thinking about how sad she was. Okay, the pee litter of 2 are owner surrenders. The owner contacted one of our fosters and said she heard that we help find good homes for puppies. Her doodle mama had an accidental litter with a Great Pyrenees, and she had 2 puppies left that she needed to find good homes for. They have kept them in their outdoor pen where the mama lives 24/7 with minimal shelter. But they are very thankful that we got good homes for the puppies, and they are even going to get the mama spayed so there are no more accidental litters, and we left them a spay voucher. The R2 were a guilt trip. I actually texted my vet on a Sunday evening asking him a quick question about a dog I was pulling, whether it looked like a chemical burn to him or like a fire burn. We talked for a few minutes, and then he said, "Oh, by the way, I need help placing a mama dog and her two puppies." It was originally three puppies, but one was run over. They were abandoned at a house on our road. My vet lives on the same road as the dog house that I used to live in. The family was renting out the house, but the landlord decided to sell the home, so they were evicted. They took a few of their dogs with them, but when the new owners moved in, they realized that the mom and the three puppies were still living there. They go to church with the vet, which coincidentally is also on the same road that we all live on. And since it was on the same road as our house is, we were all just thrown into the mix. Anyways, I told him I wouldn't be in town for a few days, but to just give them Jess's phone number and that she would message them about setting up, you know, a time to come and get them and get them into a foster home. He said, "I don't like to give out people's numbers. You never know what wackos might text you on a Sunday night." And I told him, "Well, if it makes you feel any better, I am thoroughly regretting texting him." He was joking, but I was not. We ended up getting in touch with the new homeowners, and Jess went by to just drop off food and get some pictures so we could be working on a plan. When she got there, the homeowners told her that they had just found the mama dog dead. There was a pool of blood in the driveway, and they followed the blood trail around to the back of the house where they saw her lying. The puppies were nowhere to be found. A few days later, they called us and they said the puppies were back, and Jess went over there, and they were so feral she couldn't even get close to them. So she went home empty-handed, and we were just about to call the whole thing off when the homeowners called back and said they caught the two puppies and asked if we would come get them right away. So even though I so badly did not want to agree to pull a mama and three puppies, I so badly wish we did not end up with just two puppies. The third puppy was likely hit by a car and killed, but the mama looked like she had been attacked by something. Maybe she was protecting her puppies. Maybe they ran off to hide, and that's why no one could find them the first time Jess went out there. Who knows? But these puppies have seen some things, and I am so glad that they are going to have a better life now than they could have ever imagined. The S litter of four have a terrible story. Their owner messaged Jessica to see if we would take her seven adult dogs for her. Jessica told her, very kindly, no way. This was also said week of saying no to everyone about everything. She then wrote back and said, could you at least take a litter of puppies that one of them had instead? Jessica told her it would be a few days, but, you know, we would try to figure something out. And then when she was circling back with her later that week, she couldn't get the lady to answer. And she was getting super annoyed because, like, if that lady didn't need us to take them anymore, we had lots of other litters that we needed to help instead. Finally, Jessica was getting ready to just tell her off and move on, but she decided to text one of their mutual friends to see if she knew how to get in touch with the owner another way. Their friend wrote back and said, oh, you didn't hear? She died earlier this week. They found her in her home. We don't know what we're going to do with all these dogs. So Jessica went over there, and we were planning to take the mom, the puppies, and maybe another adult or two. But when Jessica got there, several of the adults were full on attacking her. They were all teeny tiny small breeds, so it's not like her life was in danger like she'd like for you to think, but still, way too aggressive for us to pull. Luckily, the family member that was meeting Jessica there said he was wanting to keep four of the adults, the literally vicious mama included in the four. So we told him if he would keep the mean adults, we would spay and neuter them for him. And then another rescue partner of ours, who mainly does tiny breed adults, took the others and got them into her rescue. But the house that they were living in was horrendous. I don't know how long they were there after the owner died and before anyone came to check on them. Maybe it wasn't like this before the owner passed away, or maybe she was just too sick to take care of them. But the puppies were in a human baby pack and play, so like cloth fabric that was soaking wet with urine and poop. They were standing ankle deep in poop and completely covered in it. So awful. Oh, but I will end it on a funny note. You know, we do litter names so we can keep track of like who we're talking about down here, like the Ewok family, for example. Well, these were called the Itty Bitty Weenies. The K litter of six were posted on Facebook as Free to a Good Home. I was tagged in it by one of our rescue partners who was out of room herself. They live just down the road from my mom's house, so I knew sooner or later they were going to end up our problem. The owners were super helpful and they agreed to hang on to them until transport for us, and I did something I never ever do. I let them keep a puppy. I literally cannot think of another time I've done this. I'm sure I have probably, but I literally cannot think of any other time. But they are good owners. They keep them in the house, and it was a special story. They had a dog for 15 years that they loved so much, and he passed away just from old age. Right after he passed away, this mama dog showed up at their house and refused to leave. They were about to take her to be spayed when they realized she was pregnant. She ended up giving birth on what would have been their dog's 16th birthday. So I gave them a spay voucher for the mom, and they're going to have the puppy neutered themselves since they were going to pay to spay the mom originally. I don't like it, but I think it is really sweet that their puppy is going to have the same birthday as their first dog. So I'll allow it. Okay, if you are fostering any of the C litter Chihuahuas, I am calling them the Chihuahua Chaos Crew. It is 5 adults and 7 puppies, and we're about 99% sure the mama is the only mama of these 7 puppies, even though there is another female who very clearly has had puppies recently. We think one of the black and white males is the daddy. We have no idea which one. The white male could also be one of the daddies. We have no idea. And we're pretty sure that they were all dumped from a breeder because they were all found together. I would love it so, so much if everyone that has one of these Chihuahuas got an Embark DNA test done on them so we could see how they're all related. It's possible that one of these females is the mom of everybody. It's also possible that none of them are related at all, except the puppies. We have no idea. They have such a crazy story. I was not part of it at all. I was just cheering along the sidelines. And by cheering, I mean I kept saying, "Stop finding more," every time they said that they trapped another adult. Anyways, I asked the rescuer who found them to write up their story. So this is what she said. After the July 20th transport, Saturday afternoon, I started getting messages and tags about 13 Chihuahuas dumped 4 miles from my house. Lots of people were commenting and wanting to help, so I let it play out that night thinking someone would step up. Side note, we always think someone will step up. No one ever steps up. I don't know why we think that. She said she kept waking up thinking about them, and Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, she just couldn't stand it anymore. She looked at her husband and she said, "I've got to go. I've got to get them." And he said, "I'm with you, boo. Let's go." So they missed church because they were out catching the mama, all 7 babies, and then the other female, and then the male. But there were still 2 left. They couldn't catch them because they were super fast little runners. Someone had even driven by before she got there and taken one of the puppies and left all the rest of them. She begged her to surrender the puppy to her after finding out who she was, but she was just adamant that she wanted to keep him. The finder did actually take the puppy to the vet, Dr. Jamie, who is Dr. Burton's best friend, and she promised that she would do right by the puppy. So, back to the last 2 that she couldn't catch, she borrowed a trap from the city pound, and after 3 days, she figured out that they were just too tiny to trip off the lever and the trap. So she went to the store and she bought a smaller one. She went to set it, and within 3 hours, she had one of them trapped, sitting in the trap in the pouring rain. Keep in mind, it rained every day this whole week that she was trying to catch them. So the last and final mail she hadn't seen for 3 days, and she was thinking the worst. Then she got a message from someone on Facebook that they had him on their back porch, another 4 miles away, soaking wet, covered in fleas, and begging for help at their back door. So she sent a friend to get him on her lunch break, and after a long week of running, he was reunited with the whole family, and no one got left behind. We figure it was likely a breeder that just got overwhelmed and dumped them all, but they will never have to worry about being dumped ever again. The B litter of 5 were owner surrenders. They were posted on Facebook, and in a breath of fresh air, the owner specified that she only wanted them to go to a rescue, not random individuals, and that she had already made appointments to get the parents fixed, so we were more than happy to help her. At first, we were told there were only 4, but then after the owner realized how amazing Wolf Trap is, a 5th puppy magically appeared. I don't know if someone backed out or if they plan to keep him themselves. All that matters is they are all getting out of Mississippi. The G litter of 4 were owner surrenders. One of our fosters was contacted by a pitiful man who could barely take care of himself, but he had a mama dog who had 4 puppies and he wanted to make sure that they went to good homes. The foster went over there and took him lots of food for the mama dog and for the puppies. And she knew she couldn't leave those puppies there much longer because they were in such deplorable conditions. So as soon as her fosters left on the last transport, she drove straight over there and picked them up. The owner is so grateful that his mama, who he adores and really does take decent care of, will be spayed and won't have to go through this anymore. The A litter of 8 were dumped on the side of the road in a storage bin in the pouring rain. They were in the city limits, and so many people called and reported it, but it was a Friday night, and the shelters closed over the weekend, of course. So animal control refused to go and get them, because animals don't need to be rescued on the weekend. Instead, he called Jessica and told Jessica to go get them, and she told him, we don't have anywhere to put them, and that it would be a day or two before we could even take them. And he said, just go get them whenever you have room. Just leave them on the side of the road for the weekend. It's fine. While we were discussing it, trying to figure out what we could do, if there was even anything we could do, if we even should do anything or make animal control do something, we were weighing all of our options. We got another call that a police officer picked them up, still in the storage bin, and dropped them off at the shelter and left them. That sounds like the police officer did a really good thing, but the problem with that is where they were was a very busy area where they were more likely to get help from people passing by and seeing them. Not that we wanted people to pick them up, but still better than being on the side of the road in the pouring rain. And the animal shelter is on a dead-end gravel road that no one ever goes down, and there's no shelter at the shelter, like no roof covering or trees that they could have been left under. So they were just sitting in a gravel parking lot in the middle of a thunderstorm in the pouring rain in a bin. So Jessica raced over to the shelter to get them. We still didn't have a plan at this point because we had nowhere to put them. But when she got there, the lady that's over the kitten cottage at the shelter had just gotten there too to take care of the kittens. And she was getting them set up inside the office of the shelter. So Jessica helped her get them out of the rain and fed and watered. And she told them that she would get all of her animals moved around in the morning and come back and get these after she cleaned out the kennel. We really weren't expecting to even get these to go this weekend, but you, dadgum, wonderful people stepped up. So now Jess is going to get another litter of 8 that's now a litter of 7 before they become even less. We have been having a lot of trouble, you would say, with the city here, and this was just one more straw on the camel's back. We're supposed to get some answers at the next city council meeting. I'm going to bite my tongue until then and be a good girl, but if we don't get some answers to some very serious questions, y'all are going to get an episode with a whole bunch of tea on some shady quote-unquote official business that's been going on around here. So sit tight for that. Okay, as for the kittens, Wes Kits, I mean, is that not the most perfect name for a kitten? Wes Kitts was the only kitten that was supposed to get to go. I had to beg and plead for Jacqueline to take her because Wolf Trap has taken so many kittens in the last few weeks. They're just out of kitten fosters. This kitten was found dumped at another town's pound. This is actually the same pound where that puppy drowned in the kennel when they were hosing all the poop and pee out of the kennel. This kitten was laying on the cement behind the building when she was just barely 2 weeks old. Our bottle feeder kept her until she was eating on her own, and then Jess took her and another bottle baby from that foster, Times New Roman, from the Font transport. He was just a little bit bigger than her, and he was playing too rough with her, so we sent him last week and held her back just to get her a little bit bigger before sending her. And I guess things were just going too smoothly for me on this double van transport day, and Jacqueline wanted to throw me for a loop halfway through transport after telling me no kittens for weeks on end. Jacqueline called me and told me she needed a litter of kittens on this transport. We have plenty of kittens in our foster care down here. That's not the problem. The problem was getting them to transport in time so that we weren't late meeting the Virginia drivers. We ended up finding someone that was able to go to another foster's house while she was at work and pick up her kittens and bring them in time. These kittens, which I have not even named yet, so if you have three kittens, this is your litter. These kittens are from the Newfie home, yet another litter. The mom, who she also wants to send, but she'll just have to hang back until we get an adult foster for her. She wandered up as a stray and had kittens at her house. We've got the mama safe in a foster home down here until we can get a foster in Virginia for her. And currently, every animal at the Newfie house is spayed and neutered. So, I guess we're just waiting for the next pregnant one to get dumped at her house. Well, that is all of the stories for this week's crew. This is a very long episode. I'm very sorry about that. I love a two-van transport. They are so much work and so many moving pieces to organize, but I really wish we could do them every week. Not even because we get to send more animals, which is great, but just the flexibility of being able to move animals to a bigger crate so they have lots more room. There's just no stress about whether or not everyone's going to fit because we got two vans to fill. The next transport won't be quite as exciting, and the episode surely won't be quite as long because it's only supposed to be a mini, but you know I will do my best to get that as full as possible, so make sure you sign up. There's only a handful of transports left this year, which is a very terrifying thought for me. It's a rough life, but someone's got to do it.